This special Foreplay post-Masters reaction episode is brought to you by our friends at BombTech, bombtechgolf.com. We want to tell you about the guys, about a direct-to-consumer golf company that we are huge fans of. BombTech Golf is disrupting the golf industry as we know it. That's bomb as an explosion, tech as in technology, and golf, well, because it's a golf podcast. Quality and value that they provide is unprecedented. BombTech builds clubs for the average golfer. They don't give a shit about pros, retail. They really only care about you, about people like us, common golfers. This is the Common Golfers Podcast. They may be pissing off the entire golf industry, but they really don't care. Their goal is to offer you, the regular golfer, more for your money. What they do is they offer three wedges, a 52 degree, a 56 degree, and a 60 degree. They're three great wedges for just $97. They're stainless steel wedges backed by a 60-day guarantee. If you don't like them, just send them back for a 100% refund. They ship next business day, and you really can't find a better performance and value combined. We've got the wedges. We've used the wedges. They're awesome. I love them. It's shocking that I used to pay $100 a wedge. Now you get three for $97. You also can get 15% off with the promo code BOOM15. That's B-O-O-M-1-5. B-O-O-M-1-5. You get 15% off from $97. That's pretty damn cheap for three wedges. You can't beat it. Google Grenade Wedges. You're going to love them. Go get your wedges.
Good?
Yeah. Okay. You want to do Drizzly there, Trent?
Yeah.
This episode of Foreplay is also brought to you by Drizzly. Drizzly is the world's largest alcohol marketplace and the best way to shop beer, wine, and liquor. With the speed and convenience of one-hour delivery, in-store pickup, or home shipping, customers can easily browse and order their favorites from the Drizzly website or mobile app. We operate in over 40 markets across the United States and Canada, from Austin to Boston, Calgary to Tampa, New York City to Denver, and beyond. You must be 21 to order. Use promo code F-O-R-E when you check out to save $5 on your next order. That's F-O-R-E. Shop beer, wine, and liquor on drizzly.com or the Drizzly app. The best selection and best prices delivery to your door. The most important thing in your bag or golf cart are beers, so make sure to use the Drizzly app. With their wide selection of beers, and used the Drizzly app.
All right, it is about 9:30 p.m. Masters just wrapped up a couple hours ago. It was wild. For anybody that stuck around for our pre-show or our post-game show, we're still in Augusta. We were right down the street. Somebody that was not right down the street that was actually at the event and is very giddy, unbelievably giddy to talk about it. Our boy Frankie Borelli, the pizza maker.
I'm not going to lie. He just told us right before we came on. He said, I'm not drunk. I only had one beer, but I'm just so giddy about this. I thought you were shit-faced when you came in.
I don't know what's going on with me right now, but we're going to get into that. I feel like I'm in another universe right now. I really feel like I'm in another universe.
For anybody that doesn't know, if you're more just a Foreplay person and not necessarily a stoolie, Frankie Borelli is one of our coworkers. He's our coworker slash kind of boss, Dave's right-hand man. He's been on the trip with us all week. He got to go into Augusta all day today. Went in at about, we're going 7:30, Frankie?
7:30, yep, through the gate.
Oh, and quickly, for anybody asking, hey, why weren't the Foreplay boys in Augusta on Sunday? We were working. This was a work trip. Dave Port and I would have shit all over us if we went in and missed covering all that stuff. So that's why we weren't in there. We gave our passes to our good friend Frankie Borelli, and he had himself a goddamn day. Yep.
So Frankie was in there all day. Obviously, there's a ton to cover. We had an unbelievable finish, went to a playoff, Sergio Garcia, all of that. But Frankie, let's start with you. Let's start just kind of at the beginning of your whole day. What was your mindset going in? Like, all right, this is Sunday. I got all fucking day to myself.
Yep.
The approach?
You woke up as early as possible and you had a couple of chairs that you were going to put down. What was the strategy going into the day?
So I had all business Pete the day before he went into the course, and he had grabbed me a chair. That was my brain working, saying, I'm going to have someone pick me up a chair the day before. I'm not going to have to waste time getting there earlier and having to wait on the huge line inside the pro shop to get a chair. So I had a chair walking in 7:30 when the gates are supposed to open. And me and Riggsy are walking in. And little do we know that the gates probably opened at like 4 a.m. because there was 10,000 people on the golf course. Like, there was already 15 rows deep on every single hole that you would want to put your chair down. And I'm like, what am I going to do?
It was actually shocking because we looked it up.
Shocking.
Like, gates opened at 8. We got there at 7:30. Literally, it looked like the place, like it was about to close.
Everyone, all those chairs
been
are
there all day.
Crazy.
Like,
all those chairs are seasoned veterans who know, like, look at these newbies waiting until 8 a.m. to try and come in and put the chairs
We
on.
Were the total schmucks. Yeah. They were like, no, gates don't open until 8, guys. Like, no.
Well, what I found out later in the day was all those chairs are mainly members and like people from CBS and stuff like that. So if you really look at the names, like they were all like, it was like I said, like players. So it was like Gary Player's entire family had like a whole row around 18.
Gotcha.
And like another one would just said CBS and like they had two sections worth. And Condoleezza Rice had like 50 seats. Like, why does Condoleezza Rice need 50 seats behind 18? It's like bullshit. Anyway,
Frank,
so
he went from a high to fucking pissed off about Condoleezza Rice real quick.
So I got something I want to say about Condoleezza Rice.
That was the low point of the day. So we'll get all to the high points. So that was the strategy, was to get the chair. So I ended up putting a chair at 1. I figured you always want to just see the guy to start off. You want to see your favorite golfers. You just want to see him up close.
Yeah, and I thought that was actually a good play because you get to see the introductions.
Yes.
You know, guys are coming on. It's cool. It's monumental. Everyone's got a little bit of nerves, but it's also like everyone's got a clean slate on the first tee.
Right. Did you notice what they say when how they get everyone's attention?
Yeah, it's different.
They say 4.
They say 4. Yep. Phil Mickelson now driving. I thought that was very odd.
Have they always done it that way? I'm
now
sure
drive.
Have.
Now driving felt like not golf lingo to me. Like it didn't feel right. Now driving.
You're like now should be like now teeing it up.
Yeah, like now stepping to the tee, Phil Mickelson. Like that feels like the Masters to me. Like now Phil Mickelson now driving.
Yeah, the British Open they got the guy that's like next on the tee, Phil Mickelson.
Yeah, that was
Rory McIlroy.
Yeah.
That guy just retired, I think, so we're not going to get any more of that, unfortunately.
Yeah, that was a little weird, the whole 4 thing. Every 5 seconds, they're screaming 4. So
we left you at, like, what, 1 o'clock-ish?
Yeah, when we were waiting in line to get our picture.
Yeah, I had grabbed the picture early because the line was insane.
Yeah, it was like an hour-long line to get a picture taken in front. We're going to have that picture out this week, which is going to be a good contrast to the Times Square snow golfing boys.
Yeah.
But so we leave you at, like I said, 1 o'clock-ish. The leader's going off at 3.
I sat there from 12:35, or whenever Phil teed off, I think it was in 12:30 range to the hole 2:30. I sat there from Phil till the end, the last group. So I sat there for a while.
Any funny comments from any of the golfers? Like, were they like...
Spieth and Fowler were really, like, talking it up. Like, actually... The only like comedy and like comedic relief with the whole tension that was that is Sunday at the Masters, the guy who was announcing them goes up to them, Spieth and Fowler, and he goes, "You kids ready to play some golf?" And everyone like ate it up. They're like, "Oh my god,
these are the young guys."
Yeah, he said it very, very loudly so everyone could hear, and the whole place like erupted.
He knew what he was doing.
He's like, "You kids ready to play?" And he didn't do that for anyone else. Like they were so professional. And
so
that was a good moment.
So everybody comes through 1, then where did you buzz over to?
So everyone comes through 1. I watch Sergio tee off. I shoot over to 3 green. And I just – that one was packed. Mm-hmm. And I waited for the Spieth group to come through. So I saw them there. I watched them tee off at 4. I followed them up to the tee box. And then I shot over to 6.
4 was playing brutal today.
Yeah, 4 was tough. I didn't see the whole hole, though. I basically just watched them hit it and ran to 6 because we had walked by 6 the day before.
Yep.
And we're like, this hole is out of control. I don't know if it shows on TV. Did you notice today if it shows as much as it does on TV?
No, it's not even close.
We talked to, and Pete brought it up earlier, too. We were like, you can't tell. We've been there, obviously, the last couple of days. We saw all the undulations in the greens and stuff like that. You cannot tell.
It feels
TV.
Like a 15-foot drop.
On TV is not even close in person, just so people understand. It legitimately, like, if you saw that there's a huge mound in the middle of the 6th green, if you saw that at another golf course, you'd be like, that's like, that course.
And the pin
that's
is
ridiculous. But
directly
because,
on top of the mound, which is just brutal.
It's like a putt-putt. It's like literally like a fake, silly putt-putt golf course and or golf green, and there's just a gigantic mound in the middle of it. Like, gigantic.
So I ran over there, and I'd say the last like 5 or 6 groups were walking up to that at the time. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to really follow Spieth and Fowler. I noticed that they were playing. I think Spieth like dropped a stroke right away and
right off the bat. Spieth
yeah, it just
well.
Wasn't like it just it wasn't feeling like a day where I was going to just follow them around. I didn't want to like waste my time with that.
That's
so
that's Caddy Frankie like having a feel for what's going on.
Old Caddy.
But Fowler was playing like you didn't know Fowler was out of it until like later in the day. So I could have taken a risk there, but I just like I couldn't make up my mind of what I was going to do, so I just decided to just walk around the whole course. But before that, I met some stoolies, actually. I didn't even like get their names. They just said pizza maker, and they pulled me up to a spot on the ropes so I could see the sixth green right on the ropes behind maybe three people who had chairs. It was behind one of those TV broadcast tower, so there was not much room for people to be in front of you. So I was like in the shade watching the last six groups come through six, watching everyone just get dominated by that hill. That was so amazing. And that was the first time I watched Sergio. I waited for Sergio. That was the first time I was like, I'm going to wait for the final group this time. I let Spieth and Ricky walk past me, and I actually stayed instead of running to the next hole like everyone else was.
Okay.
And once that happened, I'm like, I think I just broke the chain of like following Spieth and Fowler.
Yeah.
And I sprinted right to like Amen Corner.
Like if you had followed them there, you were following them the rest of the
right.
day.
Right. So I ended up sprinting.
That was a big moment for you.
It was huge. Because they both had missed the green, Fowler and Spieth, on that hole.
Yeah, they
and,
both had like short both, right yeah, shit short. Shots.
So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go straight to Amen Corner. I'm going to start watching like even like the random people. I'm going to start watching anyone that comes through. I'm just going to enjoy it. It doesn't have to be my favorite golfers anymore. So I went to Amen Corner. I watched for about an hour, I think up to like the Schwartzel group. That was great. Perfect weather, perfect scenery, not a cloud in the sky. Amen Corner looked insane today. Not a lot of scoring in that part.
No,
of the,
it was like a little disappointing.
Yeah,
because usually Amen Corner provides chaos,
right.
drama.
Right.
Shout out to Jordan Spieth last year and also this year.
Right.
But this year it was kind of the leaders kind of cruised right through it. I mean, Sergio did three jack the 11th green from like 100 feet away. But outside of that, I mean, they both, I think Rose and Sergio both hit it like right in the middle of the green, just two putted.
Could you feel that on the course? It kind of felt like nobody was really making a move. Everybody's kind of jockeying around the same place.
Yeah, we really thought that Rose was going to run away with it. Because
yep.
when you're looking up at the scoreboard, you see Rose just like, I think he was just at 8 very, very solidly. And then you just saw Sergio on a downward path. He had just made 2 bogeys in a row. We're like, oh boy, here we go. And then on 11, we couldn't really see what was going on, but we see Sergio in the woods for like an hour. He just kept stepping away from his ball. I don't know if they showed that on TV, but he was in between the trees,
yeah,
trying to set up his...
on which hole?
On 11.
On 11, he was over in the trees forever, trying
forever.
To get like his swing and all that, because he had to... I don't know if you guys could tell from over there, but he was like directly behind a tree, and he decided to go left of it and cut it
yeah.
up there. So he had to like basically start it into the trouble.
It actually was
like
a pretty good shot.
Cut it out of the trouble. Yeah. It was a great shot.
And then he screwed up his chip.
Yeah, I think he putted and he like hit it like 15 feet by it and three yeah. jack.
But that was so I watched all that and I ended
at this point you're standing basically behind like that whole area behind the 12th tee.
Yes, in a grandstand.
Okay. Oh, gotcha.
You're in the grandstands behind 12. Is that where you are?
Yes.
Okay. So then.
So this is this is what happened.
Tell us what happened, Frankie.
Two groups before Ricky Fowler and Spieth, I jet out of the grandstand. I think I had to go to like the bathroom or something. And I knew that Spieth just came off the board. Completely. They took his name off the board. We're like, this is bullshit.
Not a good sign when they just
I'm like, I am not waiting around here for these two to come. These guys are over. I go to like a concession stand to go get like my fifth egg salad out of the Masters concession stand. The best sandwiches I've ever had in my entire life. I had like 15 sports drinks. Unreal. I head over to 16 and I see the grandstand on 16. This is right above the 16th tee. And I spot the usher saying, like, is there one person? I'm like, I'm one. He has a spot for me right up top, right above the tee box. And I sit down next to these very fine Southern gentlemen who were very happy for me to sit there. Apparently, like, they didn't like the person I was sitting there before. And what do
Big
you know?
Here comes fresh face pizza
know,
maker.
Yeah, what do you know? The next group that's coming up to the tee is Kuchar. So it's like,
no.
Yeah.
Which we're going to tease. Hold on. How do you get... This sounds like a great experience that you're inside the event. How do you get inside the event? You could buy tickets with our friends at SeatGeek.
Wow.
Buying tickets can be complicated and confusing, but there's a simpler way to buy. With SeatGeek, SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to your favorite team's games. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just 2 taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. With baseball starting up, the NBA, obviously the Masters was awesome. NHL playoffs approaching, SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I have a SeatGeek app on my phone. It's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. Trent and I used it on Tuesday to get into the Masters. Masters is awesome, as Frankie's telling you. He's about to continue to tell you. You want to go to cool events, you got to use SeatGeek to get there. It's designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. To get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with full confidence. Doesn't end with sports. SeatGeek also has plenty of concert, comedy, theater tickets available as well. Best of all, our listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. That's $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. All you got to do is go download the SeatGeek app, enter the promo code 4, that's F-O-R-E. That's the promo code 4 for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Frankie?
Okay. So, I sit in the grandstand above 16, and from the 16 grandstand at the tee box, you can see the tee box of 16, you can see the green of 16, obviously. But then you can also see, you can also perfectly see the 15 green right across from you.
It's like amazing how well you can see like, the 15th from there.
It's almost as if the grandstand on 16T should be the grandstand for the 15 green. You're that close.
Yeah, I think like we had said all throughout the week that 11 and 12, probably the best place to sit. But then I might have changed my mind and said, if you sit where you're sitting on 16, that's, I mean, you want to see some action in the tournament.
The only thing you can't see is the 15 fairway. Like as much, you could see a little bit of it, but
so you don't know who's hitting. Well, you can't see them hit in, but you kind of have a vibe for who's hitting,
right?
Just because people are like whispering.
Yes. So Kuchar steps up, and everyone's doing the Kuch, and he was on a run at that point. He had just made, I think, like three birdies in a row. When you're looking at the board, it was like he was even all day. I think he started even, and it was like minus one, two, three, and then he gets to 16. And all of a sudden, he puts this ball in the air, and all catty eyes Frankie sees this thing on point, and I'm like, holy shit, like that looks nice. But you don't think anything other than that's like a nice shot. That's all you think. You're like, this thing's just looking okay. Like, you're like, this is on its right track. No way do you think what's about to happen is going to happen. It hits the ground, right side of the pin, goes back. Well, I still haven't rewatched this yet. I still haven't seen it. This is just from my memory.
Straight memory here from Frankie.
It looks like it checked
old
up.
Old catty eyes.
Looked like it checked up a little bit and came back from right to left.
That's exactly what it did.
And it starts rolling, and I'm like, it's gonna happen. Boom, it dropped, and I just blacked out. Like, I swear, I made a noise that I was so embarrassed. I got so embarrassed of my actions that this now further shows how on point my decision-making was that I actually got up. So who does that? Who sees a hole-in-one? It was the greatest moment of all time. Like, who? First of all, it was a hole-in-one on 16. On Sunday at the Masters,
which
put him at minus five,
put him at and tied for third place. Yeah,
the leader was at minus eight.
That was the sneaky part. Is usually when these guys get hole in ones in these tournaments, it's like the guys that teed off at like 8 a.m. on Sunday and had no fucking shot. This Cooch that put him into like, it looked like he could get into the clubhouse at 6-7 under potentially if he birdied one of the, and that was like that might have gotten him into a playoff. It felt like at the time.
And on my way to the 16 grandstand right before that, like I said, I grabbed like two sports drinks. So I had to like piss my pants. So
unidentified sports drinks.
So right after that hole in one, I thought I was going to piss my pants. Like I was so excited. I was like holding myself.
It's a miracle you didn't piss your pants when the ball dropped.
I know, because I was just loose.
You just let all your bodily functions go.
So right after.
Woo! Just pissing. Pissing all over.
Right after the hole in one, I run to the bathroom. And then I go back to Amen Corner for a second, and that's when I see Sergio in the woods. So I had missed Spieth, his collapse.
Yeah.
So I saw Sergio do that, and then I run back to the 16 grandstand, got another nice spot, because when you're single at the Masters, it is so easy to maneuver yourself. It's insane. Like, there was a group of four that was waiting for the grandstand, and I walked right past them and got an amazing seat on 16.
That's awesome.
I did it twice. Like, I walked past, like, maybe 15 people waiting for the grandstand because I was a single.
That's incredible.
Like, I don't know why people just don't say they're singles and just go up. Like, people legitimately missed the Kuchar hole in one because they didn't say they were single. Like, I would have just went up there. Yeah. But anyway, so I go up there and I'm sitting there for, I'd say, five or six groups. I think it was like Paul Casey, the Adam Scott group. I saw the Ricky group come through. Now they're coming down 15. And going through 16. So we're waiting for Sergio at this point because now we see the leaderboard and it's just Sergio.
How aware are you guys of what was going on through like Amen Corner? Because Sergio, you know, bogeyed 10, bogeyed 11, yeah. Parred 12, and then hit it. What looked like should have been like out of bounds on 13.
Yeah, Rose and Sergio both made par on 13, but they were very different pars.
Yeah, we did not. I never saw 13 through like 15. I didn't see 12 through 15 for them, like the beginning of 15. But we saw on the scoreboard that it was looking like Rose was going to take it.
Yep.
But we knew that.
And what was the vibe like? Were people rooting for Rose or like?
No, we were all rooting for it to just be a match.
Okay.
I think at the point it was like.
It was the same thing at the house.
It was eight. It was minus eight to minus six at the point when he came up to 15, I believe.
Yep.
And, or no, minus seven, right? Because, yeah. So.
Yeah. But no. So here's what happened was Sergio birdied 14.
Okay.
And
right.
Rose actually had to make like a pretty decent putt, I believe, for par on 14. Something like that.
Right.
Like,
so they're on
when they walked into 15, they were.
Sergio was down one.
One.
Right. So now I'm still in the grandstand with this perfect view of 15, and there's a camera guy to the right of us. So what we decided to do was we couldn't tell when a ball was struck on 15. We just kept seeing balls like dropping out of the air. We're like, this kind of sucks because you don't know when the ball's like in flight. And we noticed that the cameras all watched the ball coming in. So whenever we saw the camera guy looking inside his camera and he pointed at the sky, we'd all look up. And I don't want to say it again, but Caddy Eyes found this shit.
No,
every
you definitely didn't want to say that.
Single time. And when we didn't really know that Sergio hit this ball on 15.
Okay.
We figured it was him because we were doing the math that he was hitting the ball further all day and he had to have hit second.
Right. Which is correct.
Right. And this ball comes flying in on 15, hits hot on the green and just one hops the pin, sits maybe what was it, 10 feet?
Yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm. And we all went bananas, not knowing who it was. The other side of the green knew exactly who it was, and they were going crazy. So we're like, it has to be Sergio.
Right, because they wouldn't be going that crazy for the guy that's already in the lead.
Right,
they
because if the
be
guy
close.
Who was already in the lead was putting for Eagle, the match it's would like, be over. Yep. It'd be 10-7. No one would want that.
Right.
So he walked. It was amazing. We see Sergio. We see Rose go to the left and Sergio go up to the green, and we all went nuts because like, that was the first confirmation that was his ball.
Yeah.
And
it's amazing that you guys knew it hit the pin because even the announcers just wouldn't.
We had
just wouldn't
side
say
angle.
That it hit the pin.
We had the side angle.
Gotcha.
Like if you were looking at it straight on, I could see it being very hard to see what the hell happened because it was just so bang bang.
They showed it in slow motion and it hit one of the announcers like, oh, that clearly hit the pin. And the other announcer was like, I don't know, maybe.
It was weird. Like,
it hit, man.
Nuts.
But you couldn't tell in real time on TV. You couldn't tell it hit the pin. Yeah. It looked like it just hit near the pin and spun.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great.
So
then he buries that eagle,
which was awesome. From out,
don't jump the gun, Trent.
Yeah,
I thought we were. I'm sorry.
He does bury the shit out of that eagle, and that was one of like the greatest sport moments I've literally ever seen because I felt like I was inside like a Tiger Woods moment. I know it's not a Tiger Woods moment, but I was like, I'm at the Masters. I just saw a hole in one. I have like 15 sports drinks in me. I am hyped up on like whatever they put in that thing is like insane. I felt like I was on like another world. And I saw him hit the pin. I'm like, if he hits this fucking eagle, I don't know what I'm going
to
do.
Because
like,
then once he hits an eagle, you got choices to make in terms of where you want to sit.
Right. But I wanted it so bad. It was one of those things I'm like, please just hit this. I want to see something crazy today. And from our angle, it went through the sun and you kind of lost it for a second to putt. And then it just sat on the edge for a split second. And it was like when you see like the camera shake. I felt like that was like my brain. Like the whole place just erupted and he did that like Tiger 2 fist pumps and like looked towards our grandstand and we're all like, I'm waving my hat like people used to do in like the 1920s.
I
say
you're some old timey guy.
Yep.
Like,
yeah. Like,
that
like
is
the,
an old time.
Like,
that's
war,
like a classic
when they
old set
time
the celebration.
War, like the army, like the Navy, like when the Navy was going away, they all waved their hats.
From
that's
the
what I was doing to Sergio.
On the shore, like right along the shore.
Yes,
after
like,
they
I'm
take
like,
off.
Farewell. I'm like, like that's what I was doing to him. I was the only one doing it. And what's crazy is I don't know if the camera caught this. He threw that ball into the stands, like
no,
into
I
the
didn't
crowd.
That. Really,
that's like a Masters. Like that should be. He should keep that ball forever. That's the eagle that won, almost basically won the Masters. That brought him all the way back.
Yeah, I didn't know he just gave it to the crowd.
So this guy jumps and tries to get the ball and jumps on a woman. Like it was like the most like
crazy thing I've seen at the Masters. Usually everyone's so polite and everything. Yeah. Like, this ball was so important.
That guy
and
knew.
The guy jumped and like he hurt the woman and he gave the ball back to her. So he really made up for it, but still, he must have been so pissed because he grabbed this thing. He snatched it, like he dove, caught it.
Was the crowd like booing him?
No, but if he didn't give it to her, it would have been very awkward because like she was like a 55-year-old woman. She was with like her kids, and he like jumped on her to grab this ball.
I don't know if you saw, but Matt Kuchar gave his hole-in-one ball to somebody that All Biz said looked like you, Frankie Borelli, in the crowd.
I saw that on
that
Twitter.
That ball's got to be worth something, too.
I saw the picture. I didn't know that Kuchar gave the ball to that kid.
That's he gave the sign. It gave a hole in one ball to him. Yeah.
Wow. Is there a stat? Do we know how many hole in ones have happened? Did they say that?
We actually in that little pamphlet that they give you, it says in there, but I don't recall. It's not like it's not that many. It's very rare. There have been a lot more.
There
in
were
recent
like
years,
two last year.
Is the problem?
Sunday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were two on Sunday last year.
Like I feel like that's just like it's just so crazy.
Yeah.
But previously, that's been crazy. Also, there's no way to transition into this, so we're just gonna do it real quick. 19 total? Wow.
Wow.
Producer on Sunday? Just on 16?
Yeah. On Sunday.
No, just not on Sunday. Sunday. No, just in total on 16?
It's a lot still.
That's not that many.
In tournament play.
81st Masters. I mean, that's you don't get them that often on that hole.
I mean, there's a lot of people that play it, but either way, Sunday, just
hold
the
on,
feeling.
Just real quick. Guys, if you aren't already using Shipsticks when you travel for your golf trips, you're starting your round a couple over. You've probably seen their ads on Golf Channel and CNBC. Shipsticks picks up your clubs from your home, golf course, office, or hotel, whatever's most convenient, and delivers them directly to wherever you're staying or playing. This is absolutely true. I went to Austin, as everybody knows, last weekend for a big buddy's trip. I would be lugging my clubs with us instead of lugging them. I got to use Shipsticks, which was great. Don't have to lug them to the airport. Don't have to waste your time at baggage claim. You just use Shipsticks to ship them ahead of time. Your clubs will be there waiting for you when you arrive. This is also true when I arrived in Austin. They were already on the cart waiting for me. Last time I saw them was in New York. Show up in Austin on the cart, ready to go. As the largest golf bag shipping company in the world, their prices are the lowest, starting at just $39.99, which by itself is obviously cheaper than most airline checked bag fees. Pretty great combo. You can eliminate the hassle of traveling with your clubs while saving time and money. All you got to do is go to shipsticks.com. That's shipsticks.com and click ship now. You'll be on your way to a hassle-free golf trip. Enter promo code Barstool. That's Barstool. Promo code Barstool for 10% off your next shipment. Once again, shipsticks.com. Promo code Barstool for 10% off your next shipment. All right, Frankie. So, now these guys come to the 16th hole, correct?
Yes.
What's Frankie's next part of his wild story? What'd you see on 16? Did you watch him tee off on 16?
Yes. Sergio, right?
Sergio and Jay Rose.
Yeah, so Sergio teed off on 16.
Because they hit it tight there.
In Sergio's backswing, someone had fake sneeze, and it like caused like a very big commotion in our grandstand.
Wait, what? A fake sneeze?
A fake sneeze, they could pose it as a real sneeze, but it was literally an achoo. Like very loud.
Like a ridiculous achoo.
Like from clouds too, like from like back near the restroom. Like someone that was like almost was walking by behind like 15 rows of people standing.
I'm trying to think back. I don't remember Sergio reacting.
No, he didn't. He
hit a great shot.
It was right at the apex of his swing.
Wow.
Like, and he just went right through it. Like people around me were like, I can't believe he didn't stop. Like that's how much of a commotion.
Like it was as obvious as one of those when somebody's talking bullshit and you go.
Yes, yes.
Except it was an achoo.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was crazy.
Do you think they were just
like
a big
right
Sergio
after his,
hater?
Yeah, it was like right after his eagle, he had just tied it up.
So this guy's like, fuck Sergio.
Yeah.
I'm going to give him an achoo.
Bleeding American blood.
Just a huge U.S. Ryder Cup fan.
I never thought I'd see something like that. It was crazy, especially at the Masters. And so they both hit great shots. I think they were both.
They were both very tight. Like 12. Rose was maybe 10 feet, maybe. And I feel like Sergio was like 6 feet, but he had a little bit of a slider.
Right. So I went down from the grandstand at that point, and I tried to find a spot where I could see the green, but also have a clear path to like maneuver myself up to 18 in case it was still going to be a tie, because I just wanted to get to 18.
Right.
So I found a spot where I could see everything. It was like the further back you stand, the ball becomes like a little dot, but at least you could see what's going on. So I stood all the way in the background, closer to the 16 tee box, and I heard, I just listened for the crowd, and I noticed that they were all like, oh, when he missed it. And I'm like, God damn it. Like, yeah. He just screwed up, like, what was going to be the greatest next, like, final couple holes. Because you know that when you lose a stroke on 16, it's like, how are you going to make that up?
Right.
17 and 18 seem like
no,
shot
that was
for shot.
When he, that was just another one of the many moments today that we were talking about earlier where it was like, oh, this is when Sergio blows it.
Right. Yeah. Like, for a while there, especially after the Eagle, we all forgot that it was Sergio Garcia.
Yeah.
And then he misses that putt on 16. Yeah. We're like, okay, this yeah. makes sense.
Yeah. And that was the same way we felt on 18, too. But
yeah.
Yeah. He, yeah, that was just another one of those moments where everyone dropped their shoulders. I was like, oh, fuck.
I mean, I was pumped, but.
Yeah. Well, Trent's an asshole and he's anti Sergio.
It's true. Not the asshole part.
You're an asshole because you're anti Sergio.
Okay. Fair enough. Keep going, Frankie.
So I leave that hole so pissed off, but I still find the power to rush
very
to 18.
This is very courageous.
To rush
day
to 18.
Frankie.
We got to transcribe. This is going to be a movie.
He's
script.
Been at Augusta National since 7 a.m., folks. It's yeah. not an easy day.
No.
Folks, he is packed full of sports.
But if you guys know,
a true, hyped
you guys
up on
know the way
tricks.
They run this course, so it's very hard to walk across fairways. It's very hard to maneuver yourself around these places. I was hitting my route in stride. I hit every single cross fairway. I walked across 17. I walked across every single fairway before that they roped it off. I don't know how I did it.
Have you remember the Seinfeld episode where Elaine drives the guy to the airport and she's saying, I made the right turn here, the left turn here, the light here, the right here. This is Frankie right now. He's pulling every switch. He's hitting every right button. This
it
is
was
great.
Insane.
Also, you can't run no less. There's no running, which I found out the hard way today. We were doing our little course tour this morning. This was just the foreplay boys, and we walked right up next to the 14th green, and we were like right behind it, and I looked up to the right, and I was like, oh, I want to see the pin location, and I ran for like, I don't know, 10 feet or something.
Less than that, probably.
Maybe less than that, and the only person within like 100 yards was a security guard, and he just immediately pointed at me and was like, there's no running, sir.
Yeah.
And I got yelled at by
like a lifeguard
guard
at the local pool. And it's one of those things where he was uphill, so he had to just get going a little bit. And as soon as Riggs kind of put his knee up a little bit, the guy was like, get out of here.
Right. I wasn't doing like a fucking 60-yard dash. I was just like, hey, this is a big uphill, you know, slope. I need to get moving here.
Yes.
Yeah.
No running, sir.
Yeah. You did run basically right into him. Like, you might as well have bumped into the
security. I almost
guard.
Plowed him right over. I was so excited to see the 14th green. It was crazy.
Security was very tight at the mat. I mean, we couldn't even walk. If there wasn't, like, we couldn't walk across. Or else the security guards and police officers were going to tackle us.
No, and it's also, just so people understand, for the crosswalks, they have, like, these greenish lines painted across them. And there's a wide theory among the patrons that, like, if one of your limbs ends up, like, outside of the green line, that you just gets, like, it just disappears.
It's like a laser force field, and your arm just gets slid.
Yeah,
like,
that's like,
off.
So everyone's, like, terrified to go outside the lines.
I have a story about going outside of the green lines for after. It was post-round. It was wild.
Okay.
I would have forgot about it, and if you didn't just bring that up, that was huge.
I'll put it in my notes.
So you're moving from 16. You're ducking and rolling around security guards.
And I get all the way up to 18. I see it coming, and it is packed. I'm like, I had a chair at 18. I don't think I said that. I put a chair down at 18. I bought two chairs. Yeah, I did not say that in the beginning of the show. I bought two chairs.
Mm-hmm.
I went in with one chair. Riggs wanted to go into the pro shop at like 7:30 a.m., so I went in with him and bought another chair. I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to put down two chairs, and that's a power alpha move.
It's a power alpha move. It's also frowned upon and illegal because Riggs looked it up after you left us in the line at Magnolia Lane. It's illegal.
Many people did it, though. Many people.
Oh, I'm sure they do. It's also, I mean, it's not just illegal and frowned upon, but Bobby Jones literally wrote that, like, you can't do that.
Yeah. Oh, well.
But anyways.
Long story short, I never even ended up.
I thought we were going to get some Bobby Jones shade there from Borelli.
Fuck Bobby.
I never ended up. There's also like a little Bobby Jones etiquette, like, bullshit inside this like little pamphlet they give you.
A Bobby Jones guy.
I'll buy as many chairs as I want. I'll buy 18 chairs and put
tells
them all
you,
over the
it tells you not. To, it tells you not to boo golfers because that's what like is everything what is wrong in the world.
I like that Frankie's going through the thing right
the
now.
That,
like running.
The fact that Frankie isn't actually isn't a drunk person right now and he's just high on life is great.
Yeah. So
you're buzzing up to 18.
Buzzing up to 18, and I know where my chair is. It's kind of next to where the swiveling camera is, that like the boom camera that goes over the whole crowd.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Those things are awesome.
They're awesome.
That they have in like NFL games and
right.
shit.
So I was on the right side of that, originally. That's where my chair was. And it was probably like, you were with me when I put it down. It was probably 25 rows deep.
Yeah.
And so,
but it was a good view, but it was.
Yeah. But you also have to remember that people just stand towards the end. They all just stand. So it was like very hard to see. So I walk up to this very overwhelming scene. And I know that Sergio and Rose are coming up 17. And we don't know what's happening yet. We didn't see 17. All I know is that in my head, when I walk up to 18, I don't have that much of a rush because I know Rose is going to win in my head. But then I'm standing, what is that, the 10th tee box by
yep,
the putting
yeah,
green?
Yep.
I'm standing by the 10th tee box, helpless. Like, I'm like, I'm not going to be able to see anything. It was 150 people deep. It's all standing up. Couldn't even see where my chair would even, I wouldn't even be able to notice my chair if it freaking hit me in the face with that many people over
there. You have no chance.
No chance of getting through. No one's believing anyone. It wasn't as much as like a thing that you guys all, remember I said, like,
yeah.
How do you just know? Like, no one listens.
Which Augusta.
Like, that's my chair. They're like, no, it's not.
For anyone that's not been there, like, Augusta is like, they have solved every problem ever imagined by like a large venue.
Yeah.
Everything.
Because it has the advantage of being in the same place every single year. That's why the concessions work well. The bathrooms work well. Everything moves like a very well-oiled machine.
And everyone's afraid of the place.
Yes. Right. And so we just assumed when you said that, and you turned out to be right, but you were like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get back to my chair when things are winding down on 18 because it's going to be so packed. And we were like, dude, Augusta is Augusta. If that's the rule, which it is, then you put your chair down and you're good, you'll be fine.
They brainwashed everybody.
But it sounds like it's just chaos at the end of the day.
It's both. So if you put your chair... So on 18, they have these green lines. So it's basically like they let you know where to put your chair. But they try and put it in structure, so they want lanes, so you can walk up and down, so they don't let you put your chair on either on the outside of the green lines.
Okay.
So there are lanes. So if you put your chair on the end, it is pretty easy to maneuver yourself in and out. And you can tell people, like, that's my seat, like, just get up. But I was, like, on the inside by the swiveling camera, and that was, like, 100 people away from me. There was no way of me getting in. I'd have to, like, ask people to get up, and it was so tight that it was impossible. Anyway, I ended up just saying, screw the chair. I'm going to try and find a way in, because we look up at the scoreboard and they take Sergio's score down. It's just a blank score now. And we're like, oh my God, he must have bogeyed again. This is over. I was literally thinking about like leaving. And all of a sudden they put up that he got a par, and then they put up that Rose got a bogey, and it was 9-9, and the whole place went nuts. Like, now I'm like, let's go. Like, I'm going to see greatness today. Oh. Like, I knew it. You knew what was about to happen.
Oh, Frankie, you listen here. Not only did you hear it and we heard it during the live show, they ran it back and showed it in slow motion when they took it down.
Did they show it?
Oh, yeah.
Frankie. Did they show the reaction, though?
Yes. You heard the reaction, and then they went another one without sound even on. They just showed the guys putting the score up in slow motion.
Yeah, because...
Like this thing slabbed, the big slab, like... Basically get hurled up.
Right.
And it was like, oh,
the best
go.
Is the first couple seconds when it's just nothing.
Yep.
And you're like, what are they doing back there? And you knew something happened because they put Sergio's up first. I don't know why that meant something. It was like, we're about to freaking blow the roof off this place.
They know what they're doing. They're building height.
Right.
Oh,
I think,
yeah.
I think if it was a dagger, they would have just put up like, Rose just got another birdie.
Just immediately.
It's a two-stroke lead, and go to your cars early. But they did not do that, and it was tied coming down 18. So at that point, I'm like, I have to see it. I cannot just be this low-life losers that are – there were people that were just sitting in their chairs, 100 people back, just watching the crowd. Like, try and see what's going on. Do whatever you can. And that's what I did. I saw these three kids.
Heroic.
I saw these three kids walking down the aisles that I was telling you about. There's these clear path aisles, and they were all saying, and they're like, how do we get in there? I'm like, I'm coming with you, whatever you guys do, I'm coming with you, right? They're saying, excuse me, and they're barging their way through all the way up front while the group is coming up to their approach shots. So it's just hectic. Like, everyone's standing up. They had already teed off on 18, and no security guard knows what's going on, but we're making our way all the way up to the ropes, and we ended up kneeling down on like the green line. So it looks like we're sitting. Like, no one knew where we were. I made it up to like maybe 7 rows off the sand trap on the right side if you're walking up the green. So the right side of the green. About 7 rows up. So I made it from 100 people back to 7 people back.
So you're like perfect basically
view
right fucking there.
Of 18. Perfect view of 18. And another thing that was insane, everyone has to sit down, right? Which you would, like, everyone does pretty well. And then when the putt is hit, everyone, like, slowly gets up. I just, like, stood up. Like, I didn't slowly get up.
Yeah.
And I saw everything. Like, there were people that, like, wanted to, like, slowly do it for everyone behind them. I'm like, I am going to see this moment. I don't care.
I'm not missing it. Yeah.
No. So I was, like, the one idiot. I'm just standing up, and, like, there's just no one in front of me. Like, I wish there was a video or a picture of me, because I think I'm just standing up, and everyone's sitting down. I'm just watching the greatest moment, like, ever happen. So, yeah, so we watched the approach shots come up 18, and everyone's going nuts because those were both great shots. Yep. They were going shot for shot on the first time.
Did you guys see – were you able to get a good look at Rose's, like, bounce that he got on his approach shot?
Yes.
Because it landed, like, yes, well right at the pin.
Right.
And it bounced right over to, like, fucking 8 feet or whatever.
Right. And it had – yeah, it was going towards the pin.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were all like, oh – like, we thought something crazy was about to happen.
Yeah.
And Sergio was right on the pin also. It was unreal. I think Sergio ended up getting within.
Yeah, he was tighter. Closer. Yeah, because so then they go up to miss, or they go up to putt. Rose barely misses.
And we think it's over because Sergio's that.
That's Sergio's moment. Just make that putt.
Yep.
This is your time. You just had the most incredible couple of holes. You somehow have a chance to win the Masters, and he pushes this putt. Like, you wouldn't believe. I mean, I still haven't seen the replay.
Yeah, we just saw him in the media room, and he was like, I hit that putt perfectly. I just misread it. I don't know how true that is or not, but it was not even close to going
in. He looked like he just, like, he didn't even follow through all the way, and it just pushed off to the right.
I mean, I'll believe him that he misread it, but, like, if that's true, he misread it by, like, a fucking, like, it was like 6 inches.
Yeah, and
he wasn't even close.
Yeah, it was only a 5-footer.
And when
was,
you look, yeah, maybe. When yeah. you looked at him standing on that green, you're just, like, after he had missed that, he looked dead. He's just standing there like, no way did that. He's looking at his caddy like, did I just do this?
The whole world thought it was over at that.
Yeah, since you haven't probably seen anything, if you go to the 4Play Twitter, there's a video, a slow motion video looking at Sergio as he misses it, kind of going like this. The crowd behind him is unbelievable.
Everybody's
just like our hands up. Like,
yeah. Everyone's devastated.
I couldn't believe it because I thought he really fucked me because I had the greatest view ever. And then he missed.
He fucked me. I like that.
It goes goes to a playoff.
All right. Before you get to the playoffs, let me read. I'm going to do an ad read. All right.
Yeah, oh, sure. Yeah.
How's that transition?
Awesome. I like that.
All right.
Let's get that money.
We need this money so we can keep doing these podcasts, keep coming on these trips.
Yeah. Wait, tease it. We don't know what's coming next, yeah. Frankie. We're going to tease it.
Let's tease this shit.
All right. Mattresses, mattresses, mattresses. Today's episode of 4Play is brought to you by our friends at Lisa Sleep. Lisa is an innovative mattress company, and more important, Larry 2 sponsor. Are we actually putting the Larry 2 sponsor thing in there?
Yeah, oh yeah, big okay. Larry 2 sponsor.
Okay, sorry. Who has completely improved that dreaded old school mattress buying experience. So much so, our fearless leader invented a tagline for them. No one wants to spend hours visiting those awkward showrooms where you're forced to spend thousands of dollars on a subpar mattress. Lisa has changed the game, so now you can enjoy the comfort of a luxury mattress at a fraction of the price. The Lisa mattress starts at just $575. It is quickly and conveniently ordered online, made to order, and shipped compressed in a box to your door within days. Unboxing the mattress, which is half the fun, took me less than 5 minutes. Not sure about ordering online? Lisa provides a 100-night risk-free trial along with free shipping so that you can properly try out the mattress in the comfort of your own home. So what makes this mattress different? At Lisa, it's all about the quality. The incredibly comfortable Lisa mattress is 100% American-made and comprised of 3 high-quality foam layers that provide cooling, contouring, and pressure relief. With over 10,000 five-star customer reviews, you can trust that this mattress is the right pick. Go to lisa.com/barstool, that's B-A-R-S-T-O-O-L, today to receive an exclusive $75 off the Lisa mattress just for you stoolies.
Wow.
This phenomenal ending to Frankie's story is also brought to you, folks, by our friends at BetDSI, betdsi.com. I love to gamble, huge gambler. If you like excitement, you like excitement in sports like Frankie's talking about right now, you got to invest. You got to make sure that you have a vested interest in how it turns out. The best way to do that is BetDSI. Been in business over 20 years, top-rated business. It's safe. Like I said, I play there. It's safe. It's quick. You get your money out when you win. Hopefully, you don't lose. Go to BetDSI. Check out BetDSI.com. Check out our offer. It's a free $25 bonus for first-time registrants. Use the promo code GOLF25, that's G-O-L-F-2-5, to claim this limited-time offer. They're also offering a 100% bonus on your first deposit. Have great customer service, fast, easy payment of winnings, like I mentioned. Fantasy matchups, player versus player wagers, if you like to wager on golf. Hundreds of wagers on PGA, NBA, NHL, NASCAR, F1, UFC, the list goes on. BetDSI.com even has live in-game wagering on major sporting events. You can play virtually every sport at BetDSI.com. So please use GOLF25 promo code for your limited time offer. Try BetDSI.com right now. Go there now. All right, Frankie.
A lot of ad reads on this show. I love this.
It's
a popular show.
Slinging the money. Trying
I wonder
to...
why I was able to go to the Masters this week.
Oh, yeah. It's all starting to make sense.
This is insane.
So,
all right, playoff holes.
Yes, and I also want to say, before we get to the playoff, I was telling you guys, there is nothing quite like the silence at the 18th green when someone is putting. Like, I mean, I've never been there for any other championship, but I would assume that it's like that every single year. So I cannot imagine standing on that green with the ability, like Sergio did, with the chance to win. And, I mean, it's so quiet that, like, I feel you can hear your heart
beating.
Well,
it's one of those things, too, where that type of quiet is deafening, because it's impossible to imagine having that many people in one area and nobody's making any noise.
It's like eerie. It's very eerie.
It's so eerie.
Believable. And even, like you said, you're not sure because you've never been there any other time. It is true. When you're walking around, like, Thursday or Friday, though, it's a much more relaxed environment. So, people might be putting on the third green or something, and right. People are walking by talking. So it's a little bit of, like, a steady type of noise. This sounds like it was a lot different.
And everyone just stops moving. They all sit down, and it's just like eyes focused. And once he touches the ball, they go nuts. Like, go on, get in the hole. It's just insane how it's just a light switch.
Well, that's another thing with the no phones. If in a moment like that in any other tournament, people are kind of holding up their phones, maybe
right.
Rustling around a little bit. There, everyone's laser focused on one thing.
Right. So
there was a phone controversy where... I don't think you guys knew this, but there was a guy in there who was on his phone, and when Sergio missed his putt, there was like a super close up of his reaction, and the photo went viral because there was a guy right behind him with like his phone up in the air.
Oh man.
I guess it turns out somebody emailed us and was like, "Yeah, the guy Frankie's looking at the picture right now."
Oh my god. Wait a minute, I think I have that guy's card. That's the guy that was
Snapchat guy.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
So I have that guy's card. Have a day, Frankie.
I'm looking at it right
so
now.
So the guy, yeah, it turns out the guy's like okayed because he's a Snapchat guy.
There it is.
Can we say his name?
I don't know.
Oh, I don't know if we should blow
no,
him up.
I wouldn't.
But wow. Exclusive here at 4Play.
I want to see his name.
We have the infamous Masters phone guy's name and card.
We do. Wow.
But it sounds like he was...
He wants to do pizza reviews on Snapchat. I mean, I talked to the guy for like an hour.
Jesus.
You were... You know when Forrest Gump, when he's like involved in all the historical moments?
Yeah.
That's you right now, Frankie.
I also want to point that out. Like, it seems like we're just recapping the Masters. Like, this is what I saw.
No. It's
like,
no, this is better, though. This
is
better, though.
No, this
is
awesome.
No, I'm saying, like, people must think like we're just talking about each hole. No. We're talking about the things I saw. Like, I saw each hole. Like, me.
Frankie was there,
like, we're not just saying, oh, here's the eagle.
I see what you mean.
Here, like, I'm saying, like, this is actually, like, we're recapping how somehow, it sounds so douchey, but it's like who ends up at all those holes? It's impossible.
So you think it's like a freak luck, or were you just a genius navigator?
Freak luck.
Was it old caddy eyes coming
through?
No,
freak luck. I went to the concession stand. I'm like, you know what? Like, 16's right here. I step up to 16, and there's a hole in one the next shot. And then I go to the bathroom. I see Sergio hitting a tree. I go back, and then I see him hit an eagle on 15.
Trent nailed it. You are literally Forrest Gump.
You're the Forrest Gump of the 2017 Masters.
It sounds fake, but it's like this is the moments I wish I had my phone, because I would have been capturing every second of this. But then
I think it's better retold like this.
It wouldn't be as like genuine. Like, I watched everything, and I'm looking through holes to see things. It was unreal.
You were so excited when you came back to the house, got in the door. You're like, you came in. Wanted to start talking, said, I'm going to save it for the show, turned right back around looking at us and started telling us everything.
He did the same thing to me and Octagon Bob. We went up to Five Guys to pick up Five Guys closer to the course. Frankie's walking down the street, meets us at Five Guys, comes over. We're like, Frankie, we have this plan. We're going to save it for the show. You're going to tell everybody what it was like to be there at the Masters on the podcast. He's like, yeah, that's a good idea. But I have to tell you guys about it.
Like,
and just starts going and going and going.
Right in my eyeball. Anyway, so... the deafening noise, which we were talking about, I have to, you can't always put it on the player like that. It's going to happen. I mean, I know it happens to Sergio all the time, but at that moment, I thought it was done for him. And like I said before when we were teasing it, I thought he had fucked me at that moment, because when it went to the playoff, they were clearing that aisle out and I got spotted big time.
Oh.
By like security, and they're like, you can't be sitting here anymore. And I'm like, you have to be kidding me. I was just five rows away, right? I'm like, and now I'm gonna fucking be in the boondocks. Like, this is insane.
Yeah.
That he missed that putt. It would have just been over. It would have been the perfect day, but now I'm not gonna see the ending. But then I found another aisle.
Old catty eyes.
I found another aisle. I was a little bit further away at this point. Still in the same area. Mm-hmm. by the boom camera. So here's the view I had of the playoff hole. I'm standing next to that camera again, but on the other side. Now I can see the guy who's maneuvering the camera has a huge HD screen. This is like a serious camera.
Okay.
And he is getting the live broadcast feed on his screen. So we're kind of like looking at his camera, and he's moving around, and we're all like, oh, like we're moving with him. And we see just in the corner, because I mean, you probably know more than I do, people, like he sees like a transparent version, like in the top left. So he always knows what's live, and then he always sees what he's filming.
Peter's shaking his head like, yep.
Yeah, he could see what's live on TV at the moment. And we see them zooming in on like the trees and a ball, and we're all like, what's going on? Like, something crazy's happening. And at that moment, I'm like, all right, I think that might be Rose. And then they zoomed in on Sergio on the tee. I'm like, let's eat right now. Something about that happened. So at that second, I started moving. I moved away from the TV, and I'm like, I got to get back up to the ropes. And I did my little thing. And at this point, I was getting discovered by everyone. They're like, this kid doesn't have a chair up there. I'm the only idiot doing this. Like, I felt like an asshole, which I was. Like, I am the asshole that
was. And
it's
funny because going into, like, when we left you, you were like, I'm really nervous about the process of going to the 18th green.
Right.
You're like, I don't want to, like, upset people and kick people out of my chair.
And I was very adamant about, like, this whole thing. Like,
yeah.
How do I sit at 18 all day and then someone can just tap me on the shoulder and just, like, bump me out? I'm like, that's, like, the most dick thing ever.
And then now here you come. Buzzing. Down the aisles, kicking people out.
Buzzing off sports drinks, just right. Having a good old time.
Because I knew that I had to finish this night, this day, with like, I had to see the final moment. You cannot experience that day without seeing that last puck go in. And I found my way into another spot where I didn't even have to kneel at this point. Everyone was standing. We were like doing like a little like half stand. Because at this point, I wasn't as close as I was the first time. I was kind of like behind where a group of people were sitting. So I was like the first person standing. It was actually really nice because like no one was in front of me. I was standing. They were all very polite. I think I was in like the CBS Condoleezza Rice area. And like no one was like rowdy.
Here comes Condi again.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, you haven't said, on the podcast, you were by Condoleezza Rice. Is that true?
Well, she had like 50.
She had like
1,000 chairs behind 18. Like I don't know what like type of pull she has there, but it's like insane.
She's a member.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But not that she's a member.
Well, yeah, we were just gonna let that.
No,
go.
The story
told on the podcast was good, but he's a little misogynistic.
No. The fact that she had so many chairs, it was just like mind blowing. But
so playoff.
Yeah, the playoff comes and we noticed that we didn't really see this like punch out everyone's talking about, which apparently I don't even know if it was a punch out. By Rose, the second shot in the playoff.
So it looked, he was underneath a tree, and it looked like he was trying to hit like a really low hard iron that would get up near the front. Well,
did
of the
he
green.
Have a look?
He.
But it was the tree was hanging really low.
Yes, he had a look, but he couldn't hit the ball over like 3 feet off the ground.
And
he
Sergio
had to hit
smoked his ball
right down the middle of the fairway.
I bet Rory could. You remember that shot we saw earlier in the tournament, Frankie?
Yeah.
Oh
it was,
boy, do I remember.
So
that.
He had to hit it. He had to hit it really low. And he kind of like almost like blade topped it a little bit, it looked like. And it dribbled out just barely closer than Sergio's ball was. So they were almost the same distance.
And he had a stroke.
Exactly.
Unreal. So we didn't really know what was going on at that moment. We see Sergio hits the ball. Great shot up onto the green.
Yep.
A lot of spin. It was like right on the pin.
Mm-hmm.
He had a nice look. It was a little bit of a downhill putt, which he always gives himself on that hole, it seems like. Like he gave himself basically the same putt almost. It was a little more...
Yeah, it was a little. It was a little. If you're looking at it,
a little more
from
right
behind the green, it was a little left. Of
okay, right.
Because
he
was right on the pin.
Right. Okay.
The first time,
but we did. We all knew that that something had happened at the tee. We didn't know that, like, at the moment, our side did not know that he could have two putt and one.
Okay.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
But, like, we had the feeling. So when Rose missed the putt, we're like, oh, like, this is basically over, we're guessing. But we all were, like, ready to react as if he won when he hit that putt. We
so it know. Was a big deal for him to make that instead of two putt.
On our side. Gotcha. Because we didn't, we couldn't tell what was going on.
It's hilarious how much this speaks to what being at the Masters is like.
Right. Because
you have no phones. There's no video screens. There's nothing. It's right. just the same way that they found out how the tournament was going in 1934 right. is yeah. how you find out now.
Like, I almost, like, it almost sounds stupid to admit, but, like, when, like, after the round had ended, like, I looked up and, like, he won by two? Like, that's how insane that is.
Yeah.
Like, what do you, I'm like, he hit that putt. I thought if he would have missed that putt, we were going to a playoff.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to ask. If he two putts that, how different is the reaction from the crowd?
Like, I think I'm, like, I'm happy because I think he saved himself. Not like that he just won.
Gotcha.
And that would have been very, like, an embarrassing feeling. And, like, it would have sucked. Because it wouldn't have been true.
Yeah. It's also crazy, like, how raw all of this is from Frankie. That he hasn't seen any of the shots.
Yeah. Right.
He hasn't seen any of the replays. Frankie just, we basically dragged him straight from the course right into this bedroom. We have right. five of us in a bedroom right now. Tech guy Pete's on the floor. Rob's in his WrestleMania chair again.
And he's wearing Zubaz.
We're so cranking you're out a golf podcast.
You're bringing home a WrestleMania chair. I'm bringing home a Masters chair.
Yeah. Ooh,
that's a pretty good, like, check baggage right there.
Amazing check baggage.
Guys are on a good run.
Great run.
All right, Frankie. So, now that it's over, you guys went nuts. You said it was, like, complete chaos there afterwards.
Complete chaos. They did not do the green jacket ceremony on the 18th green. Everyone just started packing up their shit, and they all left. And I thought I was outsmarting everyone. Like, everyone stopped leaving, and I started walking closer to the green. I'm like, you guys are all idiots. I'm about to see, like, the greatest ceremony of all time. And they're like, no, Frankie, you're an asshole. Like, they're doing it inside, like, Butler Cabin. And they gave him, like, the trophy. They give him, like, that trophy of, like, the building.
It's the clubhouse. Yep.
Yeah, the clubhouse. They give him that on the first tee, which is so random.
Yeah, that is weird. I thought they did some ceremony on the 18th.
They did it on the first tee, like, because, like, there was, I mean, I don't, I still, like I said, I haven't seen anything, but there was, like, total chaos at the first tee, and, like, things were roped off and we couldn't walk until after everything had happened. Then it all released. And what I said before, that some crazy shit happened on the way out with the green lines.
Yep.
Yeah.
Someone had reached out over the green line, started just ripping grass to, like, put it in their pocket. And, like, this guy came over and, like, smacked his hand. And, like, the grass, like, the grass just fell out. It was like a movie scene. It was like, no. And just, like, literally, like, smacked his hand. He's like, you're not, like, what do you think you're doing? And the guy's like, what? Like, it was like an older man, wasted, drunk guy. But he was, like, deep into the fairway.
Oh, wow.
Like, he went out because, like, he went out. We were walking across the first tee, and he was maybe, I'd say, 7 or 8 steps out into the fairway, like, going towards the bunkers.
That's a no-no.
And the guy, like, smacked his hand and, like, pushed him back into the green. Like, I thought we were going to see, like, a taser and, like, an arrest for, like, ripping grass out of the
floor. That's a ballsy move at Augusta National, where we've established this week that it's international waters at Augusta.
Like, we thought that guy was, like, making a run for it. We saw him turn left, and he just started walking up the fairway. We're like, where is this guy going?
I kind of did something similar today.
True.
I took an azalea.
Wow.
For our Facebook Live pre and post show, we needed a set piece.
Wow.
Just snapped it right off
which
the bridge.
Which weren't blooming behind in Amen Corner, which is very upsetting.
Yeah. Over by the so they had the brand new media center.
Yeah.
And so right by the media center, kind of a little FU to the media
right.
from Rob.
Yeah.
He just picked a flower on the way home as we left.
Riggs, didn't you put a broken tree branch in your pocket?
I did, and then I took it out because it got tree sap all over the inside of my pocket.
Right. Okay.
Which turns out, like,
tough.
Renders your pockets useless.
Well, yeah, you don't want to reach in there, like, oh,
no,
shit.
No, which I then, it's habitual at that point, so I kept reaching in and getting tree sap all over my arm, and I removed it.
Tough times at Augusta.
It was a mistake. It was, I had, like.
It wasn't, like, you folded it, it was a big branch, and you folded it up and stuffed in your pocket, like, I'm going to give this to my brother.
I was so excited I was going to give it to my brother. My brother was going to get a broken tree branch from the 10th hole.
The sap was too much.
At Augusta, and then there was pine needles and shit in my pocket with the tree sap. It was bad. So
your brother's gonna hear this and be like, you couldn't just deal with a little bit of sap and a couple of needles?
Yeah,
give me a treat.
Yeah, he would have really liked it. I think 10th's his favorite hole too, so I was all pumped up about it. But anyways, I think that's a wild first hand telling of what happened today.
Speaking of grabbing things, I mean, I know I don't want to keep going back, but someone was like grabbing acorns and saying they were just going to start like growing trees in their yard from massive. Is that like a thing?
Augusta National makes people do weird things.
Can you like just grow a tree from an acorn?
I don't know if that's how it works.
Are those the seeds?
I'm not an agronomist. What is it?
I mean, I just searched, can you grow a tree from
somebody's
an acorn?
Somebody's got to know that
that's
word.
That's like you spelled that so wrong on spell check that it doesn't even have
it
a
says
suggestion.
Step back and watch your acorn turn into an oak.
Origami? What is the...
Arborist, perhaps?
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Pete, can you grow a tree from an acorn?
Acorns are seeds.
Yeah, so this guy says he's going to grow a bunch of like oaks.
Be like, these are from Augusta National?
Yeah.
That's like he thinks he's just going to start his own Augusta National.
I mean, he had like 50 acorns. Like he was like in his backpack.
That's how weird that place is, though. This takeaway from this weekend, everybody knew going in that place makes you do weird things, but it's a piece of history. When we were walking around there earlier today, we felt like we were walking in the 50s because everybody's dressed up. There's no cell phones. Everyone's ready to go. Frankie's waving his hat like a sailor from the 50s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes you do weird things.
And out in front of the clubhouse by like the big oak tree, they have like this patio area with like tables with little umbrellas on them. And it literally felt like we definitely should have been in the 50s, the way everybody's dressed.
You know what this place reminded me of? You know the movie The Greatest Game Ever Played, Shia LaBeouf? It's one of my favorite movies. Mm-hmm. And the feeling in that movie where like, when I was on one today, the feeling of like when they announced him and like, here's Rory McIlroy. And then like the way they like, everyone just like applauded and everyone was paying attention. And the way like the players respect the course, it felt like an old school, like that movie. I really felt like I was in that movie this week. Like it was insane. Like I felt like this, like I felt like it was the greatest, like, I don't know how to explain it. Like it's just, it's a different feeling when you're in this place. It feels like a theme park, but a sporting venue.
It's
insane.
We kept saying that it feels like Disneyland or something. Yeah. The way that everything's just so perfect. The way that they even like shuffle you around.
Even,
how efficient it is.
Even
how
when
immaculate
you,
it is.
When you first get there, you grab a sheet with all the tee times on it. It's like you're looking at like what rides are we going to go on.
Yep.
But it's tee times. It's like what groups are you going
to
go
find? And walking from hole to hole, you walk like in a spot. It's like underneath these like huge, humongous trees. And it's perfectly paved. And there's like rivers running below you. It's like insane, the detail. I was walking like by like a restroom all the way in the back by like Amen Corner, which probably doesn't even get that much like traffic, and it was like the most beautifully like paved place I've ever seen in my entire life. I'm like, how do they keep this much attention?
Yeah, and it's like back in the woods. It's
yes.
Like somehow taking a piss in a urinal was really peaceful.
Right.
It's fucking lovely. Place is just lovely. All right. I mean, we've been here all week. This is basically 7 days in Augusta for the boys.
Yeah, full week.
Which is a really long time. The Masters delivered. We talked about it pretty exclusively on our post show, but we got a great firsthand account from our boy Frankie Borelli.
That was amazing.
I think everybody was kind of on the same page in terms of like once Rose started to get a 2-3 shot lead, you really just wanted it to be tight. Did not expect it to be as good as it was.
No.
We got one of the better endings. I'm blanking on the recent endings, but you don't get guys tied on 18 nine under just like going at it.
Especially playing in the same group.
Right.
You very rarely see that. And then on 18, the 72nd hole, they both hit it really tight. And then they both missed, which was shocking.
Yep.
You don't get three scoring changes in the last four holes.
No.
Between
the
leaders.
With the Eagle, that was wild.
You don't go from Sergio down one to even, and then Sergio down one on the next hole on 16, then back to even on 17.
Yep.
That was crazy. Then if you count, I guess if you would count
the playoff
hole, it'd be what, 4 out of 5 holes?
It's insane.
There was a scoring change on 4 of the last 5 holes.
Like, why did that happen today?
Because you were there, Frankie.
Because Frankie Borelli was there, the pizza maker.
I sometimes think I'm going to wake up and like this is all going to be a fucking like nightmare. Like I'm like in hell or something. Like somehow,
well, you're
like
going to be going back to work for Dave Portnoy.
That's true.
Yeah, you're going to have a wildly different
like
day.
Like going to a pizza review tomorrow may be like the death of me. Like I just like I ate like 9 pimento cheeses today. Like I was on like I was in heaven today.
Yeah.
And tomorrow I'm like at 99-cent fresh pizza on like 42nd Street.
We talked about this on the post show. Shout out to us for seeing Sergio at Publix at the beginning of the week.
Yeah.
It's a 4-play bump.
Credit 4-play.
So we should be invited by many pro golfers to every major that we can see them at a local grocery store.
We saw him Monday night at Publix. We said he looked hungry as shit. Turns out he was. Won the Masters.
Hungry for that jacket.
Great week. Anybody got anything else? Or are we done here?
I, No, I don't think so. This was an awesome week. I mean, we got to come down here. We all got to hang out. Frankie got to live the dream for a day.
We all did. Man.
Frankie, thank you for living the dream so that you could tell us about it.
Well, yeah, and thank you to Natty Light. Honestly. Yeah,
we got a shout out Natty Light. The Natty Shack was a phenomenal time.
It was.
Never got shut down, which is great. There were some concerns of that. Could have been more fun. Smiley Kaufman, Smiley's Army. Those guys were great to hang out with.
They were.
So Natural Light, thank you.
Shout out to Elise Lobb and Paige Branding for coming on the radio show.
Yep.
At the Natty Shack. That was fun.
Shout out to our guest, Frankie Borelli, the pizza maker.
Mm-hmm.
Came on a couple of our shows as well.
Thank you to you guys.
My favorite guest so far has been Frankie Borelli.
Yeah, Frankie. Postmasters drunk on sports drinks. Frankie Borelli
like,
is my favorite.
That's what people don't understand. I am literally drunk on like a sporting event. Right? Like I can't even see straight.
It's great. He's animated, folks.
It just doesn't happen. That stuff just doesn't happen in real life. Like when you see it like that, it just doesn't happen. Fuck.
I think that's a great place to start.
That's so. Masters Week. Nobody does it better. I hit it hard. I'll keep hitting it hard, man. How about you?